This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.
So what are some of the big things you've learned from comedians, like Kevin Hart, for instance, or a Patrice O'Neill? Like, what are some things, big takeaways you've learned from being around these kind of people?
Patrice O'Neill, man, the best advice he ever gave me is have an opinion, but don't let the opinion have you. So, you know, that basically means that, you know, you can say something, but don't be so arrogant to not be open to what someone else says, because they could teach you something and give you a whole nother perspective that you never even thought of. So, you know, have an opinion, but don't let your opinion have you.
What about Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart, the thing that I learned about from him.
Hot Breath. What's up, Hot Breath-iverse? I am so excited to be back here with you today. This is the Hot Breath Podcast, the show you learn comedy from the pros. I am your host, comedian Joel Byers, and you all know what time it is. Hot Breath. That is how we start all these Hot Breath episodes, Hot Brethren and Sister. And if this is your first time tuning in, welcome to the Hot Breath-iverse. I am so excited to share this interview with you. If you didn't hear the past few weeks, I'd been breaking down how I recorded my own comedy special independently. That'll be linked in the show notes if you'd like to go check it out and support and watch it. But our guest today is back in the hot seat. He was our guest back in Hot Breath episode number 61, and now we are back here to catch up on all the craziness that has happened in his life and all the insight in this comedy game that he has learned along the way. We caught him right before he's going on tour with Martin Lawrence, so this is the perfect time to get him back on the show. So if you do enjoy it, reach out to him personally on social media. Let him know how great this episode was and share this with other comedians. And let's get into the interview. Also, go check out our YouTube. We are blowing up over there. A Felipe Esparza clip has now like over 300,000 views. So if you haven't been to our YouTube, that is where all the excitement is happening. Besides our Patreon, where I post extra content and I'll post episodes early like this one as well. So all that's in the show notes. And now we're on to the show, as there is only one thing left to do, and that is inhale a hot breath.
Yeah, last time
with Jack,
the water was like
Thriller.
There were labels I made since we did the last interview. We've come up. We have custom labels now from.
Oh yeah, that's right.
The Fontus Water.
Okay.
Yeah, so we got this Ottoman. Let me get a little bit of that. But they're a local spring up in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Georgia. So they made us some custom hot breath labels. So that's my gift to you if ever you get thirsty.
I never get anything. Thank you.
You never get anything?
Man, what? Oh, my God. Nobody ever thinks about me, Joel.
Joel. I like how you say my name.
Yeah, I was trying to get biblical with it.
I appreciate that.
No problem. I look at you inside very high regard, man, and I respect you so much. And you make me feel like I made it because you dressed the part, and you know, you like the Walter Cronkite of comedy.
Whoa, yeah, really?
Most definitely, man. You got it,
man. Last time we talked, we called you the hip hop Howard Stern.
Oh man!
And now Walter Cronkite of comedy.
Hey, come
Yo,
on,
we
man.
Out here now.
Hey, come! It's only right.
It is.
It's only right. It take two to make a thing go right, and we did that.
I am so excited, man. The last episode we did, it was Hot Breath episode number 61.
Okay.
And now we're in the 200s.
Okay.
So
work.
Those of you watching out there, welcome to the Hot Breath Podcast. This is your weekly guide to comedy mastery, the show where you learn comedy from the pros. This cat right here, since our episode, so much has changed. But this guy, if you don't know, came up right here in Atlanta, Georgia. Some of you may know him as the barbed wire stripper who used to rub peanut butter on his chest.
That's true.
Some of you may know him as Honey Bun, the comedian that used to wear wigs on stage.
Yep, yep.
But most of you know him as the one and only Jack Thriller. Welcome back to the Hot Breath Podcast, my man.
It's a pleasure and an honor to be back on the Hot Breath Podcast.
We out here, yeah. Gang.
Yeah, we here, man.
And we live.
We are live. Oh, on my life. Get closer. Get come on in. How they say, no homo.
Pause.
Yeah, and pause, all that stuff to prove that you're not gay.
Sharon
just
taught me that one, yeah.
Yeah.
This is crazy. We just got intimate right here.
Yeah, this is really intimate.
So we in here now.
Well, come on now, Jungle Fever. You hear me?
Coming together.
Zebra head. You hear me?
Make a mocha.
The swirl.
Come on now. Homies and honkies right here.
Okay, Ebony and Ivory.
From the trailers and the traps.
Man, you better talk about it. I like it.
No teeth and gold teeth. We out here, y'all.
Come on, man. You could do this all day.
Already.
I'm not as skilled as you on that, man. I'm tapping out.
Now, I'll keep it 100. Those are some jokes for my new comedy special. The trailer and the trap and the homie and honky, I say that on my new comedy special.
Okay, cool.
The Trophy Husband, now available at joelbyerscomedy.com.
The Trophy Husband.
The Trophy Husband.
What does that mean? Are you married now?
Yeah, man, I'm married now. Oh, yeah, I probably wasn't married last time.
No, you was not married.
I was not.
In 16, you weren't married, right?
No.
Wow, you found somebody, bro.
Yeah, man, we made it.
Wow. I was married and divorced in the same year. My shit went fast. Action and cut.
What?
Yes, I got married Valentine's Day of 17,
mm-hmm.
and I got divorced Halloween of 17. I got a trick and a treat.
Yeah, what happened?
She couldn't hit me over the music, man. She never even learned my song. You know, what that means is whatever you do inside life and whatnot that people are attracted to. That's your talent and stuff. They like that person. They like that person. Oh. You know what I'm saying? So she was in love with the idea of Jack Thriller and not who I really was when the cameras go off.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it was what it was. But that doesn't make her a bad person. It's bad for me.
What's the difference between Jack Thriller on screen and off screen?
It's really not a difference. But then when you're watching people on TV, you automatically assume that everybody is rich on TV.
right.
Let's say I'm not broke, but then on the same token, I ain't nobody that be like splurging and making it rain and all that old bullshit. That's not my thing. I work really hard for my money, and on top of that, I've came up broke. So I just never understood the concept of buying things that you can't afford, like the bags and all that. She wanted to live that type of lifestyle, and it just wasn't me.
Oh, you know she wanted to spend your money.
She wanted to spend my money. She didn't want to get my. She didn't want to get my. Even when I was trying to teach her how to, you know, maneuver around and make her own brand, yeah, she just wasn't with that. She just wanted to be handed to her. You know,
how'd you meet her?
I had met on one of my shows. It wasn't right. She was one of the girls on my
show. No.
Hey, what a deal is.
No.
I ain't with a friend. Yeah, so most of the time,
okay,
when I see a girl at this particular time in my life, the girls that came on my shows, I was definitely, you know, hitting a few of them and whatnot. It wasn't no prerequisite or no shit like that. But if you were ready to go gadget, I was. You hear me? If they were trained to go, then I was going to get them draws.
And
yeah.
which show was this?
Party and Bullshit.
Okay.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
See, I met on there, and it just instant chemistry?
Yeah, we was partying at first, then it turned into some bullshit.
Ah!
Yeah. Excellent play on words. Yeah.
So did you smash the first night?
No, I got my dick sucked the first night, and that's when I knew that she was the one for me.
Clearly she's the one for
something
you.
There's something about her. I can't put my finger on it.
Right.
I didn't hit the first night, but the second time I did get my dick sucked, yeah. Same shit, you know, whatever makes you happy, whatever the time limit is. Yeah, you waiting to give me the pussy, but I'm not waiting to go get no pussy. I'm on to the next, like, hey, what's going on? You coming over? My company's going now, yeah.
And how long after meeting her did you propose?
I didn't propose to her. She proposed to me.
No.
Yes. I can prove it to you, too. When we get out, I'm going to show you.
Oh, my.
Oh, motherfucker.
Gosh.
Yeah, she got, that's it. I told her it was my fantasy, right? Oh. For a woman to propose to me. Get on. She got on one knee.
No.
She proposed to me. Yes. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
No, that's just she proposed to you. She wanted to spend all your money. She came on your show. Like, it seemed like she was in it to win it the whole time.
The whole time, because she was listening to what I was saying that I want. And you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, look, bro, the devil answers prayers too.
Won't he do it?
Yes, he will.
Let him use you.
Yes, with gasoline draws on.
Oh, she burnt you too.
Oh, man, what taught me the true meaning of Christmas? You know what I mean? We had a Charlie Brown Christmas. You hear me? Yeah. So it was rough. I learned a very valuable lesson doing it. And I take my time when it comes to relationships now.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Just even calling somebody a friend, you know what I'm saying? You have to really earn my friendship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't hang around nobody. I don't want to hang around guy or girl. You know, I'm really, really protective of my peace.
How long into the relationship did you realize this was a mistake?
I think day two.
What?
After we got married, boy, she just straight up flipped the script.
Really?
And she thought that she had me right where she wanted me. But I'm not the type of person that you can trap. Because I don't mind. If I got to pay to get you the fuck out of my life, I'm going to do that shit. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, she just started to unravel and start acting different. And I was like, look here, bitch. I'm going to tell you right now, man, that shit ain't going to fly. And I'm not somebody that you could be fake around too long. It's like a vampire walking inside a church. Your head going to explode, goddamn, and whatnot. And that's what happened. This shit started unraveling. Once again, she's not a bad person, just bad for me.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Very diplomatic answer.
Yeah, well, I've grown now, and I know it's more about accountability.
Okay.
You know, forget pointing my fingers at what you did to me, and this I ain't shit because of this, or because this person didn't. No, what did you do? I had to really point the fingers back at myself, man, and you know, allow myself to grow. And when I did that, the self reflection and stuff, I became a better person, and things started happening positive in my life because I wasn't looking for anybody to blame.
Mm.
You know, yeah.
Seems like you learned a lot from it.
Yeah, I learned a lot from it. It definitely taught me who I am and who I ain't.
That's good.
Yeah.
So it was worth it.
Yeah, most definitely. And then I ain't gonna even front. That's what got me on the tour with Martin.
What?
When I was going through all this shit, I didn't understand why I was. I got to get married and divorced, and why I get homeless and have to move around 5 or 6 times, and then why I go blind, and why I was depressed. I didn't get why God was allowing these things to happen to me, because I feel like I'm such a great guy, and I made myself so easy to love.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went up at Sway in the Morning at Caroline's on Broadway, and I talked about what was going on inside of my life, you know, the crowd was very receptive to it, to the point where it scared the hell out of me. And like, whoa, so my pain is really entertaining to them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he threw it up online and stuff, and then that's where ICM seen, and they showed it to Martin. Martin was like, yo, I want this guy on my tour.
What?
And I'm like, what the fuck? Out of millions of comedians that could be on the tour, I'm the newest dude on there considered in comedy.
Well,
because
what?
I've been a comedian for like 20 years now. But that's not what I'm known for. I'm known for the interviews.
Right,
and
exactly.
Stuff like that, and the battle rap and all kind of shit like that. But I kind of got away from the comedy because the other things that I was doing was working. And when I did this, it just automatically let me know that it's time to just focus on that stage and get my shit together. So that's why I'm here in Atlanta right now. Preparing to go on tour. I'm back to the basics, man. I'm in front of Southern audiences, mm-hmm. and whatnot, and I'm bringing the pain.
Sharpening the sword again.
Sharpening the sword, man. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just in a really happy place inside of my life right now.
What a beautiful juxtaposition, though, from almost like the lowest part of your life. You said you're homeless?
Yes, homeless.
Depressed? Now, what did you... You kind of skipped through that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You were you kind of was like, I was homeless, I was depressed, it was the lowest part of my life.
Yeah.
And then this happened. But what was that moment Are you living in your car? What do you? How homeless were you?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't living in the car homeless because I didn't have a car. I wasn't on the street homeless. You know, I was staying at friends' houses.
Ooh, man.
Yeah, I was couch surfing and stuff, trying to, you know, figure it out and get it back together.
You're this top interviewer. You're interviewing all these celebrities, and yet you're homeless and depressed at the same time.
Yeah. And it was wild about that. And I was still doing the interviews and whatnot while you're watching me, but you don't know what I'm going through. Oh, I'm blind too at the same time.
You went blind?
I went blind too.
Completely?
Yeah, well, to the point where it's just fuzzy and it was a deep fog. I had to detach my retina.
What?
Yeah, I got in. There was a whole nother relationship after my marriage.
You married an eye doctor?
Yeah, but it was a previous relationship. The girl I was with before I got married, I needed somebody to talk to after I had got my divorce. So I hit her up just to be her, just for some friendship. But that's not what she had on her mind. She thought we was getting back together.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so she was sleeping on my couch and stuff, you know, spending the night talking to me and everything. But I'm not knowing she's got this chip on her shoulder because I didn't marry her. We were together for like 2.5 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Or something
gosh.
Like that. Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, on my birthday, she was supposed to be making me a birthday dinner. And my birthday also fell on the same day I do Party and Bullshit. So the plan was she's supposed to come to Party and Bullshit, have some fun, some drinks, and then go back to the house and then cook my favorite meal, which is steak and lobster, surf and turf. Mm-hmm. So I went and bought the lobster myself. That was already done. And then I went and got these big ass T-bone steaks and shit. And when I got back from the party, I had me a threesome set up at about 1 a.m. So she's supposed to cook this and leave and go to her job or go to work or something and go home. She was on my couch, butt ass naked, laying out like Marilyn Monroe. She done ate all my goddamn lobster. she ravished that motherfucker. And then the steak was still frozen in the sink. Mm. And I came over to the couch. I was like, hey, get the fuck up and get the fuck out my goddamn house right now. You done made my birthday about you, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the fuck is wrong with you? And she said, what you say? I said, bitch, get the fuck up and get the fuck out my house right fucking now. So she put on the clothes and whatnot, and she walked over to me again. And I guess she needed just some clarification on what I had said one more time.
Right.
And I didn't know I was being set up. She was like, so say that one more time. I said, bitch, get the fuck up and get out my house now. And she hit me in my good eye. Yes. She know I got one good eye. Bitch hit me in my good eye. And you know, you ever play Call of Duty?
Yeah.
And then you know how on the blood pop on the screen and shit. That's what happened to my eye on the inside of the eye, but not on the outside. On the inside, it was bleeding on the inside. So I'm instantly going blind right then and there in her face. And I'm terrified. I don't know what the fuck finna happen to this bitch finna goddamn but cut my lights off, literally. So, man, I reached back from the pits of hell and I punched that bitch in her fucking nose and I grabbed her by her fucking neck like a pit bull puppy and I bowled her into the wall like Fred Flintstone. Then I jumped up in the air like Bruce Lee. You know how he got his foot up in the air like this? And then he's come down. But before I did that shit, I'm like, oh shit, I'm Jack Thriller. I can't do that. I stopped myself from Bruce Lee and the bitch. And so she calls the police, and the police got there fast as fuck. I go to the door, and I answer the door. The police were there. They were like, oh shit, sir, are you all right? I said, yeah, I'm okay. He said, sir, your eye is hanging out the socket. I was like, what? Were you serious? Whose eye? My eye. And I did this shit right here. And my eye was hanging out. I was like, oh shit, it's my eye. Oh my God. I was losing it. Because I'm touching my eye, hanging out my face. And whatnot, this bitch didn't push my shit out my face. And I was like, yo, that bitch in there, she did this shit. So she saw my eye was hanging out like a yo-yo the whole goddamn time. They took both of us to jail. And I did 3 days in jail because none of my friends could bail me out because I forgot, don't none of my friends know my real name. And everybody thinks I'm Jack Thriller for the last 10 years.
Right.
That's inside of my life. And I realized I don't have no real fucking friends. I have been committed to being Jack Thriller this whole goddamn time. It backfired on me in jail. But mind you, I never planned on going to jail ever. So I didn't think that situation like this would ever pop off. Everybody knows me in jail. That made it weird too. And they were like, what are you doing here? Because you know what I'm saying? They know what I do. They know who I am. And it just don't seem like I would, you know, pop off like that.
So they know you, Jack Thriller, from This Is 50. This Is 50. And you're in jail with a missing eye.
With a fucking eye hanging out the goddamn socket. Yeah.
Were they like, yo, you that interview mofo?
Yeah, are you okay? Yeah, I'm like, I'm cool, I think, for the most part. And my eye hurt it like a motherfucker.
Oh, my so, gosh.
You know, I go see the judge. The judge looks at my record and who I am. And she, she looked at this girl record and see who the fuck she is. She goddamn a fucking bunny tail bitch. Where one of them bartender bitches, one of them with the fucking thong up their ass.
She had a chicken head.
Some chicken head ass.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? But once again, pointing the finger back at me. That was my fault for dating chicken head ass bitches.
Yep.
And whatnot. So I put that on me. I have to raise my standards when it comes to dating people. When I say dating, I'll fuck a chicken head all day.
Mm-hmm.
I'll fuck a chicken's head off. You know what I'm saying? But as far as dating, no.
They ain't loyal.
No. Chicken heads ain't loyal. Not at all. And it's a waste of fucking time.
Did you meet her on your show too?
No, yes I did, but it was another show. It was 16 or better.
Oh my
God. I gotta stop meeting bitches on my shows.
Seems to be a pattern. Seems to be a pattern, Jack.
What the fuck is wrong with me?
And is that when the depression kicked in? When you're like in jail and you're like, where am I at with my life?
Yes, I could say it just started right there. Yeah. And I had then lost the apartment, you know, shortly after I got out of there. And things were starting to spiral down, and I was kind of starting to give up, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, when I would walk outside and people would recognize me, and they would like tell me how they felt about this thing that I did online or that thing that I did on Wildin' Out and whatnot, and it would just, you know, recharge me.
Mm.
And it made me want to fight again, and I got up off my ass, and I figured it out.
How low did it get? Were you thinking about quitting or anything like that?
Most definitely.
Mm.
I definitely thought about quitting, but it wasn't nothing to quit to. You know, this all I had been dedicated my whole life to
was
comedy and entertainment. What does Jack Thriller quit to go do?
Yeah.
I got no skills. I dropped out in the ninth grade and whatnot. So what do you quit to go do? So, you know, the only way out is going straight through. And I got up off my ass and I just rebuilt myself.
Yeah, that is the thing about us being comedians is it is kind of like there's no real backup plan.
There's no backup.
You can't go back to McDonald's.
Yeah.
Or that's where you would have to start over, I guess.
Yes.
But you booked the Sway thing.
Yeah.
And that's when, I guess, was that like the first sign of light at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah, most definitely. When Sway had didn't, because he's a friend of mine.
That's great.
He's a friend of mine. Like I said, he heard about what was happening with me. I ain't tell nobody. You could just see I wasn't doing well. And it was public knowledge about my divorce and stuff. So, you know, and what happened, a lot of people in the industry knew what the fuck had happened. So,
How long were you blind for?
About a year.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have someone to help you around, or what do you have to do?
Friends would help me, and you know, but for the most part, I was trying to help myself. Much as I could. I never really like asking for help for anything.
So
I had to figure it out.
That's so crazy because perception being one thing versus the other. It's like, because of me seeing you, I'm like, oh man, he's killing it. These interviews and you're working. I see you're like, you have like your own weed company now or like your own strain. Is it own strain?
G5 cultivation. And yeah, I have my own strand, OG Killer Thriller.
Oh, I thought you were about to cough. I thought you got the gas lungs.
I had just ate them lemon pepper wings.
Oh, okay.
You know, you come to Atlanta, you got to eat some lemon pepper wings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your own weed strain now?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm on weed strain. I also work with another weed company called All American Papers. Man, we starting All American Records in a couple of weeks. And the first artist is Jack Thriller.
Mm.
And I got, it's a 3-album deal. Monogamously Promiscuous is going to be the first project. Then Gospel Sex Symbol. And that's the name of my band, too. Mm. And then I'm doing Sleep With One Eye Open. Yes.
Thank goodness you got that one eye back.
Yo, I need that eye.
Man.
Mm-hmm. I once was blind, but now I see.
And do these people just come to you? Like, it seems like...
No, I go get it.
You go out and get it.
I go get it.
Because I remember when we talked in the first interview on here, it's like, you're like, yeah, I moved to New York and I made it happen with 50 Cent. Like, mm-hmm. I made all my success happen. Mm-hmm. So is that what's happening now with
most
this
definitely.
Stuff?
Most definitely. The grind never stopped. Mm-hmm. I got up off my ass. You know what I'm saying? I got tired of waiting on somebody else.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't let people promise me that, hey, just stick around and we gonna know. I go make it happen myself. Mm-hmm. I don't depend on nobody but me.
How do you... Because that's what I'm doing with my comedy special, The Trophy Husband, as we said earlier, mm-hmm. is like my goal is to all these comedians releasing specials, but it's like I produced it myself. You know, I paid for everything. I'm releasing it myself with the goal of creating my own opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's been out. I just released it last week. It was mm-hmm. on my 10-year comedy anniversary. Mm-hmm. So now it's kind of like, okay, now how do you get people to care? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. How do I get people to care, Jack?
Break it up into pieces and stuff and start... You know, do the same type of marketing that Netflix would do and whatnot, you know, in different pieces. I also would, like, set up private viewings and stuff and invite people out and everything, make it a dinner and a movie. Like, for Valentine's Day, you should do, like, a little Valentine's show, have little specials where, you know, steak dinners or some shit like that and everything, and then people watch your stand-up special. You know, a night with Joel.
Oh, I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, every day could be Valentine's Day, so just create the opportunity.
Oh, I like that.
Make it a couples thing, you know, cater towards the ladies. The ladies are the ones who buy the comedy tickets, you know.
And I feel like with the title, The Trophy Husband, I'm trying to maybe get into that wedding world mm-hmm. or the marriage world, mm-hmm. like, because there's a lot of topical things in that based on my personal experience mm-hmm. with it. That I feel like could translate to more people.
Most definitely. I think that it's a whole theme behind that also. Mm-hmm. With you being the trophy husband, you always dressed up like a groom. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? You would have wedding theme comedy shows and whatnot. Uh-huh. Yeah, you got to really put on and embody that world and start getting the sponsorships from different wedding come Davis Bridals and whatnot, and some kind of giveaway for wedding dresses or something like that, or a hook up with limo companies and stuff. Everything that has to do with getting married, uh-huh. party promoters. Yeah, that you came up with a genius concept. You just get lost inside of that world, man. It's a whole bunch of checks out there that's waiting on you.
How do you approach someone about a sponsorship? Or how would I?
Well, you would go to David Bridal or go to that limo company mm-hmm. and find out who the man is and, you know, take a meeting with him and see if you could sit down and show him your stand-up special and tell him what your ideas is to help market their situation also and see how you guys can't work together, starting off with, maybe some kind of barter system and then turn it into a monetary thing once they find out that it's beneficial for the both of you all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they definitely have a database that you could definitely use, you know, that goes along with the whole trophy husband thing. So, this is me coming off the top of my head.
Of course. No, of course. Because last time we talked, mm-hmm. You were talking about your Rihanna, your parody interviews, mm-hmm. and you were like, do this with politicians, mm-hmm. and it's like, and it'll pop off. Mm-hmm. And I did it. Mm-hmm. It didn't pop off, but I'm glad it didn't. I mean, it's still on my YouTube, but it's mm-hmm. like, I'm glad now that wasn't... No, I released like three of them.
And then you got to keep going.
But it ended up... Yeah, it wasn't... That wasn't the move. Back then, I was trying to be this... I was like trying to be the all-American kid and mm-hmm. all, and do political stuff, but now I'm not even...
You didn't like it. Okay.
I'm more like personal. I talk about my story. I'm not trying to attach onto a wave. I'm trying to create my own now.
Most definitely.
But you...
It takes longer.
But yes.
Yeah, it's rewarding in the end.
Yeah, I like the long road... is harder, but it takes you farther.
Most
you know,
definitely.
So that's my mindset. I'm on
great mindset.
So yeah, I can reach out. I can connect with all these different wedding companies and just see if it's almost like I become like a spokesman or
exactly.
shoot a commercial
exactly.
with them, maybe or something like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. and maybe it's like I shoot a commercial for the limo company, mm-hmm. and then there's like an affiliate link that if anyone that sees it and hires the limo company through that affiliate link, I get a cut of that maybe.
Yeah, most definitely. You can do it that way. And also, you focus on making these commercials funny.
Right, of course. Yeah, oh, yeah, funny first.
Funny
first.
First and whatnot. And that'll get you booked on a lot more wedding shows.
Yeah.
And then you become this wedding a trophy husband guru on ladies. Now, if you want, the reason why you're not married is because you're not listening, and you become the wedding expert.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You find a husband and by coming to my seminars and take it from a husband. I'm an expert husband.
Expert husband.
Yes. I'm everyone's type.
I'll be the husband whisperer.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the dog whisperer.
Yeah.
Like Cesar.
Mm-hmm.
But Joel.
Exactly.
Yeah, even in the special, I was wearing the suit I wore at my wedding. So I'm definitely embodying that whole. Now it's just like turn it up to 11, maybe.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, so maybe even anyone listening, if you want to work together, it sounds like holla at your boy.
That's how you do that. Yeah.
We out here. Mm-hmm. It only took me 10 years in comedy to be like, hey, I should make money at this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It happens. You dribble, you shoot, you hope for the best.
But you shot pretty much the slam dunk when it comes to this Martin Lawrence thing. I've got to talk to you about this because, like, in our world, the comedy world, I mean, he's like the GOAT to a lot of people. Like,
yes, he is.
He is that dude.
He's worked with everybody.
So when you got that call, what was that moment like?
Man, I cried. It was unbelievable. And it was another moment like, hey, man, God is listening to me. I'm supposed to be here. It's going to happen. That was preparation, meeting opportunity.
Yes.
I'm ready. When can I go? Let's go tomorrow. I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you get on the call, and is it your agent or?
It's my manager.
Your manager is like, hey, Martin Lawrence.
We got it.
Oh, man.
We got it, man. Yo, it's really happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's really happening. It was that type of vibe, man. You know, I'm still on cloud nine right now.
But how much stand-up have you been doing?
Man, 6 shows a night.
But okay, so you've been still working it.
Most definitely.
Okay.
You ain't got no choice.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a skill set that, yeah, if you let it go, it'll let go of you. So
most
you've got to stay in that gym.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's preparation again, that if Martin Lawrence is like, hey, I want you to open for me, and you're like, all right, I've got 4 minutes, and 2 of it's crowd work.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, I'll try my best, Martin.
Yeah, right.
But you're ready for it.
I'm ready for it.
So with these, you've interviewed also some of my, like, all-time great comedians, you know, like Patrice O'Neill, I remember, Kevin Hart, countless others. And the Patrice O'Neill one, you actually got a number from a comic and called him and were just like, hey, what's up? I'd like to interview you. And then you made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you've been able to make a lot of your opportunities, is you just find your way to connect with the right people?
Yeah, I go to where it's at, man. I put myself all the way out there, and I'm not afraid to be rejected.
Not afraid to be rejected.
Yeah, I have lost the ability to be offended.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because that's something I need to get more proactive at, is putting myself out there more, just asking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just being... Because with this show, you know, this show has grown to really be like inside the actor studio for comedians.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to be getting, you know, I want Sinbad. I want Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want the biggest I've gotten. I've got Cedric the Entertainer.
I saw that. That was amazing.
So I got him. Mm-hmm. And that was that was validation that, like, okay, mm-hmm. we're on the right track. This is possible.
Mm-hmm.
But now let's turn it up another gear here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's get the Martin Lawrences. You know what I mean? Like, what do you have any advice on how we can start to shift those gears?
Find out where they're going to be at, and, you know, just, you know, keep asking and work until it works.
Mm, okay.
That's what I would say, definitely.
Just consistency.
Yeah, name of the game, all day in the hallway.
So what are some of the big things you've learned from comedian, like Kevin Hart, for instance, or a Patrice O'Neill? Like, what are some things... big takeaways you've learned from being around these kind of people?
Patrice O'Neill, man, the best advice he ever gave me is have an opinion, but don't let the opinion have you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that basically means that, you know, you can say something, but don't be so arrogant to not be open to what someone else says, because they could teach you something and give you a whole nother perspective that you never even thought of. So, you know, have an opinion, but don't let your opinion have you.
Mm. Mm. What about Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart. One thing that I learned about from him, and I think that, you know, everybody can take away, because he's one of the most hardest working comedians ever in the world. And that's just be consistent. Be consistent, man, and be resilient. And, you know, wake up early. I'll just say just be consistent and work hard. His ethic is unmatched.
What about Lil Duval?
Lil Duval taught me how to be Jack Thriller and, you know, just basically not to believe everything I hear and to, you know, always be accountable. He also helped me learn how to work the internet, to get the edge on that. He's a genius when it comes to social media. Yes.
Yeah, and the music now. The music.
Unbelievable, right?
Popped all the way off.
But we've been doing music for over 20 years, man. Mm-hmm. And then he found one and he changed history.
Yeah.
He's part of Black History Month now. He was. they talked about him on Jeopardy. Come on.
Really?
Yes, he was a Jeopardy question.
What is that like to be seeing these cats you came up with? Because you guys were in the trenches together. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all came up mm-hmm. together. So what is it like now? Like
it's inspirational. Uh-huh. Once again, it is to let you know your time is coming. You show me who your friends are, and I'll show you what your future is.
Mm.
You've heard that before?
I have.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just one of those things, man. Stop hanging around janky motherfuckers, man, and get around people that are doing things and, you know, really maximizing off life and understand that you only live once. And so you better go ahead and every day live it to the fullest and do what you really want to do. Don't waste your time. Time is the only thing you can't get back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite quotes from our first interview was you had said, I believed in myself before anyone else did.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
I feel like in comedy, it can be such like a lonely, gradual process.
Yes.
So like how did you, in those hard times early in the grind, like how did you overcome that self-doubt? How did you break through and just keep going?
I didn't want to be that comedian or that just a person in life where people just felt sorry for and whatnot. I wanted to be a winner and I wanted to win by all costs and whatnot. So I just made up in my mind that I was gonna work hard and I wasn't gonna look like no sucker, no bum, and whatnot. And I'm get down on it. So I just made a choice to win. I made a choice to be happy by any means necessary.
This is like a mindset.
Yeah, it's an all mindset.
It's all mindset.
It's all mindset. Is the art of war is mental.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Can you expand on that?
You know, like I said, you have to. You can will yourself into a great situation, but you have to always be able to see yourself inside those successful situations and whatnot. And then you have to start envisioning on how to get there. And you can't allow yourself to be distracted. Distractions can come in all different types and forms. Friends, vices, situations, backup plans. You have to stay on the path. Remember what you came here for. And follow through. Don't take the easy way out. Follow through. Don't look left. Don't look right. And damn sure don't look back. Only way out is through.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's all mental.
You even said like visualize. You like picture success.
Envision yourself. And then like for instance, I wrote down a set of goals last year. And one of the goals was I was going to be a major tour. And I was going to get a Netflix deal. And I was going to get a record deal. I have friends I could call up to you right now and tell you that I said that's what I was going to do. And I did it. Like, I got friends that I could call right now, and I told them that I was going to come up to New York and I was going to meet 50 Cent. And I did it. I got friends right now that I told I was going to be on Wildin' Out. And no manager, no agent, and I did it.
Mm.
I did it, man. So you got to see yourself inside that situation, man. Because nothing, only thing, the difference between you and somebody else is that they just, they deserve to be ahead of you because they actually tried. And you was thinking too much, waiting on the right time. But man, sometimes waiting on the right time, well, you'll be dead for whatever the right time is. You feel me?
Yeah, even setting the intention I have found to be super, like last year was the first time I set like actual measurable goals, and like one of them was I want to record a comedy album this year. It just happened that one of the fans of my podcast had a production company and was like, hey, we can make this a comedy special instead of just an album. But setting the intention to create an album kind of put the whole thing in motion to now become the Trophy Husband. But if I didn't first set that goal, it would have never happened.
Nah, it wouldn't happen, man.
Yeah, but as comedians, we can get lost in just, well, it is what it is. But I feel like now it's time and the opportunity is bigger than ever for us to create our own success.
That's absolutely correct.
And do you have any tips for comics who are out there on the hustle and are just like, well, how can I start to get my own thing going, you know?
Go get your own thing going, come up with an idea, and once again, be consistent. It's so many different ways to get yourself out there, you know, these things that are available to you that, you know, Bruce didn't have, like social media.
Right,
these guys don't have, like a lot of older comedians don't have, like, big-ass followings. They had to go out there and make it happen. So, but we have access to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all these, the TikTok, all these different ways to promote yourself. If you don't make it today, you ain't supposed to make it. So just put yourself out there and make it happen. Do the work. You gotta do the work. I remember when I was in acting classes with Robert Townsend, he said, honey bun, there are no shortcuts. You gotta do the work.
Wow. Yeah. What about 50 Cent? What have you learned from working with him?
He said, don't ever do business with somebody that don't respect you. Don't ever do business with somebody that don't respect you. With some other thing, he's talked about we was just talking about the other day when he found out that I was on the tour with Martin. Martin is his favorite comedian, and he was just like, "Hey man, you got to get ready to. It ain't nothing wrong with you changing because people around you are going to change, and you know feel like that there was part of your success, and they actually had nothing to do with it because what success breeds envy." Entitlement and jealousy, envy, jealousy, envy, jealousy, entitlement. It's another word I'm looking for. It's three: envy and entitlement. It's one more.
Not well. Envy and jealousy, I guess, are the same thing. Envy, entitlement. I don't know. I'm not 50 Cent.
Yeah.
Should we text him?
You get it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. People will change up on you.
Yeah, people will definitely change up.
When you get successful, people start to switch up. But like you said, it's people you surround yourself with. So you being in the same room as Martin Lawrence is kind of like, oh, I'm in the right place.
Man, my DM's filled with bitches that didn't want to fuck me.
Word?
And shit changes. Hey, Jack, how you doing, big head? What's going on? I got long lost cousins and shit and from 20 years ago. Wanting to be cousins again. Like, hold on, no, we grown now. We don't have to be cousins no more.
Right.
I release you.
Everybody thinks you're like co-star and you guys are like you're this multi-millionaire all of a sudden. They're like, yo, let me hold something, Jack. Let me hold something.
Exactly. Like I just started in Bad Boys 4.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Not yet.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah, man. So maybe landing this plane here, do you have any other advice for comics or any other lessons you've learned that you can kind of impart onto us young ambitious souls?
Like I said before, there's no blueprint to it. I would just say go up three four times a week, turn that 5 minutes into 10 minutes, that 10 minutes into 15, and so on and so forth. Just be consistent and mind your business. Stop worrying about whatever everybody else doing and mind your goddamn business, because they shit ain't got nothing to do with you.
Preach.
Yeah, keep on writing. Keep on writing. And don't sweat the dumb shit. The things that are petty that you know you don't really have to address. Like if somebody really pissed you off that much, just stop fucking with them and call it a day. You know what I'm saying? But move on with your life and be positive. Be that beacon of light and whatnot, man, because you don't never know who's going to turn into who when they could help you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Humble yourself.
I've learned that 10 years into this game now is you just never know who's going to be what and where. And that one comedian that you kind of just were rude to at that open mic 8 years ago now is like the biggest booker in town or is now like running their own show on TV. Like you just never know.
You never know.
Just always be a good person. Be nice.
Bottom line.
And you were the first time we met up, you didn't even know me. We kind of connected when you did the show at Uptown, And then I just got referred. I think Ronnie Jordan was the one who was like, Joel's good people.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you were like, all right, well, if he says so or whatever, you know, you just kind of did it just based on the people you surround yourself with. Well, if they like him, then I'll probably like
him. Yeah, yeah. What could possibly go wrong?
And now the hip-hop Howard Stern and the Walter Cronkite of comedy.
You better talk that shit just like that.
Oh, and you said last time you wanted to be like a Lorne Michaels or like a Keenan, where you want to start purveying these young talents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you still thinking in that mindset also?
Because
I'm ready when you are.
Yeah. Right now, I'm focused on myself.
That's
now,
it is, real.
Yeah. I like I said, I'm just getting back on my feet and stuff.
Right.
And I'm just getting out there, and I got to really focus on Jack, because I gave it to the streets for a long time for free. And I've helped a lot of comics. Mm-hmm. I've helped a lot of DJs. I've helped a lot of rappers and whatnot. But I ain't really helped Jack. I'm pouring from it. I just got finished getting my glass back full because I was pouring from an empty cup.
Yeah, I think that's the right mindset. It seems like it almost came full circle for you there.
Full circle. I'm charged up, man. I'm ready to go.
I'm excited for you, man, because it does sound like you've been giving, and it seems like now it's gonna start returning to you.
Exactly.
You feel that, like that wave?
Most definitely, bro. The money is gonna change. Address is changing. Yeah, I'm really excited right now.
No more ex-wives. No more chicken heads.
Now I'm cool on that marriage shit. I don't have to do that no more.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Unless it was a millionaire chick. Or what, that multi-$1 million or something.
Well, now you're going to marry her like your chick married you.
Nah,
she wants you for the money.
No, anybody have money. I just want somebody that can hold their own.
Oh, okay. I
see. Don't need me for nothing but companionship. And when we get together, we celebrate our life as being successful together. Because I don't want your money. But I just want to be able to focus on doing what I'm doing. And you don't be thinking about what you being here for, just getting what you can get.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, man. Well, yo, let's wrap this up, man. This is a fun interview.
Man, you feel that way?
I do feel that way.
Man, thank you so much, man. I sure appreciate you.
I feel like it went on like, I'm getting better at, I feel like, because in interviewing, it's a lot of like, you like listening.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, you know, because I do so much research for people, it was almost like a script where I'm like, okay, we're going to go here and then here and then here. Mm-hmm. So whatever they say, we're going here next. Mm-hmm. But now it's kind of more organic, but I felt like this kind of went on like a high energy wave, and then we got like serious, and then I feel like it kind of went on a whole roller coaster.
Most definitely, bro. You're an excellent interviewer, bro.
Yo, that means a lot coming from you.
Yeah,
a professional interviewer.
Excellent interviewer.
All right, so let's is there anything else before we get out of here? He's on IG Live right now.
Yeah.
The culture. Is there anything else that you want the world to know?
There's nothing that I can think of off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
I just really appreciate everybody that has been, you know, dealing with me thus far. And, you know, the best is yet to come. Let's get it popping, baby.
Where can they support you? And
at Jack Thriller, man, on Instagram, or follow the Lit as Fuck Tour with Martin Lawrence, man.
Oh,
and going from here, from right now to May. Yeah, it's going down in a major way. Watch Party and Bullshit every Monday. 60 and a Better, we're doing the one-off episodes. South by Southwest, man. Jack Thriller Stage, hosted by myself and Head Crack.
What?
Urban Feats, every in Austin, Texas, March 21st. Yo, all independent artists that want a slot, email me at 16abetter@gmail.com and get your slot today and whatnot. And let me see. Once again, look out for that. My album, man. R&B comedy and whatnot. It's going to be amazing. I got a lot of dope-ass features that's going to be on there. So, you know, look out for that. I'm saying, and you're going to see me start hearing me drop music within the next 3-4 weeks.
You have like, you're like your own network.
I'm my own network, bro. I'm not waiting on nobody to put me on.
Ooh.
Or put myself on, bro.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, the final thing every guest does is they look into the camera, they say who they are, and why comics should listen to Hot Breath Podcast.
Hey, what's up? What's up? This your boy Jack Thriller, aka Cock Out of Mount Sailor Man, aka Debo 3000, aka Frank Lotion, aka Jackavelli, man. Hey, and comics should definitely watch Hot Breath Podcast because it's informative. It is the comedy Bible, up to date, and you find out the who, when, where, and why. And if it's here, you know it's hot on the Hot Breath Podcast. Hot Breath Podcast. Hot Breath Podcast with my man Joel. Let's go.
My man, Jack Thriller, thanks for being on Hot Breath again, man.
I appreciate you, man.
Ooh, we made it.
Let's go.
That's good stuff. Oh, yeah.
You feel good about that?
I feel really good.
I do, too.
You're amazing, bro.
Word?
Yeah.
You think so?
I know so.
Oh,
all right, Hot Breathiverse, you are now listening to the Walter Cronkite of comedy. Hang out with me here quickly in this outro. I just want to give you some exciting news. Shout out to everyone that came out to my sold-out Valentine's Day show in Tucker, Georgia at High Card and Blue Tart Brewing. We sold that out. It was such a great show. If you guys want to see me in your town, reach out to me on social media at Joel Byers Comedy. Or go to Hot Breath Podcast, email me that way, hotbreathpodcast.com or joelbyerscomedy.com. You can also get my comedy special on my website as well, so definitely go check that out. That was 10 years of comedy grinding I was able to put onto what I think is like a unique spin on the comedy special format. So I hope you enjoy it and find it inspiring to do that. David Ross, all the way out in Arizona, reached out saying he loved the special. It was hilarious. And that he now wants to do his own. So that is my whole mission with this. Not only this comedy special, but this show is to really start inspiring comics to start creating their own success. You know, you heard Jack Thriller on here, the mindset. That's why I jumped this episode to the front of the line. I have others in the catalog, but this one came up first because the mindset is so, so important. So I hope if you took away anything, that's my favorite part of it. I'd love to hear your favorite part. Please reach out to me on social media. I do respond. I do want to hear from you. It does matter. Go subscribe to our YouTube page. Go to my personal YouTube page, Joel Byers Comedy, and you can see the vlogumentary I've been doing about my comedy special that's showing me preparing out at open mics and stuff. So it's that comedy grit I hadn't really seen captured before. But all that, man, I appreciate all the time you spend with me here, so I won't take up any more in this outro, but share this. Word of mouth is the best way we're going to spread this show. If you're looking for one way to support it, and it's not going to be to go subscribe to the YouTube, or it's not going to be to go join the Patreon, share this with other comics. So you have your marching orders this week, Hot Brethren and Sisterin. Go forth, share the show. And I'm serious. If any of y'all have a wedding company or know of someone who does something within the wedding world and would like to work with the trophy husband, reach out to me. Let's figure out a way we can help each other grow together. Thank you to my wife. I thank her at the end of all these episodes. Thank to my wife for making the theme song for this, as well as making me who I am today. And until next Monday, right here on Hot Breath. Hot Breath.
This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.